if we can be vulnerable and authentic, and if we, you know, don't pretend to be someone that we're not, we're really helping ourselves overcome imposter syndrome, and everyone in the process finds healing and self-acceptance.
So, Leah, I made a post on Instagram not too long ago, and I was being pretty open about some mental health challenges that I'd been having. It was just a tough mental health week, and I wanted to be honest about it. And just talking about how I work through a difficult mental health week, you know, talking about self-compassion and talking about my meditation practice, the support of my family and my friends, et cetera, and how all these different things show up to support me whenever I'm having a tough time with my mental health or whenever I'm just having a tough week.
Yeah.
And my mom saw that post and kind of vicariously through my dad, you know, expressed concern like, you know, is it the right thing for you to do to talk about the fact that you're struggling in any kind of way when people look at you like a teacher, you know, when people perceive you as a teacher, like, doesn't that create a disconnect? Like, why would anybody want to learn something from you when you're sharing that you're struggling? Now, my mom is a huge supporter of mine. We've fantastic relationship, but this was just one of the ways that she wanted to protect me. But I also thought about the ways in which like men are not always allowed to express themselves or to be publicly vulnerable. And that it's, and you know, and that it could even be perceived as a dangerous act. So along with Pride and so many other different things that we're looking at, June is also Men's Mental Health Month. And it's an opportunity to shine a light on men's mental health. And I think we can do that in this conversation today by talking about self-acceptance and setting yourself on the path to becoming mentally healthy. And it definitely is a journey. And I had an opportunity to bring a good friend of mine on the show to talk about this, and we'll get into that later. But yeah, I think it's important to normalize that, you know, men specifically for the purposes of this conversation, but in general, all of us can be more open and more honest about what's happening for us inside. And so, yeah, if you're down, let's have a conversation about it.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
Tell me a little bit more. I mean, what was going on? Like,
there's so many different like intersections of pressure that I can feel from time to time. As a parent, as a husband, as a son, as an entrepreneur, all of these different things, sometimes it just all comes to a head and I can feel that I'm really sort of out to sea, you know, like not really sure like where my bearings are and like, am I doing the right things? And self-doubt, intrusive thoughts, anxiety, all these things pop up. And it's natural. I mean, if a good friend of mine who was juggling so many different things was said to me like, hey man, I kind of feel like I'm drowning here, I'd be like, yeah, it makes sense, you know, you got a lot going on. But I think to take it a step further and post about it publicly and just kind of put myself out there was what might have been alarming for my parents to see. But I was really conscious about doing it because I thought about friends of mine that might be going through something similar, other men that might be going through something similar. And I felt my own resistance, like, oh man, if you make this post, you might look weak. And I was like, no, I actually think it's strong to make this post. So I'm going to post it.
Did anybody leave a comment like, you're weak? Or was everybody, how was the feedback besides what your parents gave you? I mean, I'm curious.
That's a great question. Feedback was overwhelmingly positive, and people felt seen by the post. You know, they were like, yo, I've been going through this too. Thanks so much for what you shared. You know, this helps me, et cetera. And that was my hope, was that for people who look up to me as a teacher, for people who see me in the mentor role, or for people who just see me as a contemporary or whatever, that I'm still a human being and that this is a normal thing that happens to people.
I think that's a shared value that you and I have, we talked about quite a bit, is our wanting to break down the old paradigm of the guru complex, of that power structure of I am a perfect detached, wise, sage, holy being, you should bow down to me as a superior, and I have all the secrets that you don't have. Like, that's gone. Those days,
that is gone.
We don't want that anymore. Uh-uh. And I think that we continue to feed that paradigm when we don't express our authentic selves of what's truly going on for us, and we succumb to the fear of, will I be judged?
Yeah.
I personally have a hard time being friends with people or relating to people who put on an exterior front of being of perfection all the time.
Yeah.
That they've always got everything together. Everything's like they're always, perhaps that person happens to be happy all the time. And that is beautiful.
Fantastic.
But very, very seldom few people have that. And most people who, like you said, are living in the world and yeah. have bills to pay, they yeah. have children to take care of, they have a partner whose needs they need to consider, they have a career that they want to embark upon. There's things to think about.
Yeah.
And that is just the nature of life. And to pretend like that is that doesn't exist is sort of living in a false reality and portraying a false reality. And it ends up hurting other people because then other people look at us or look at someone and say, oh, they're so much happier than I am. Why aren't right. I as happy as they? Why can't I have everything as figured out as
exactly.
this person? And it's not real.
It's not real. It's not real. I mean, there might be high exalted masters somewhere who just don't experience like any fluctuations of emotions or stress, but I just can't imagine a human experience being like that.
Well, they're likely living in an ashram or a religious order somewhere, so they don't have bills to pay. But for the rest of us, 99.99% of the world, yeah. we're going to encounter uncertainty, struggles, curveballs. You know, you and I were just talking that there's been some curveballs in our life recently. You know,
yeah.
I just found out I had some identity theft and someone stole my identity. And I was just found out this morning. I was like, oh, that's yeah. interesting. That's a great curveball. And then you know, my son had a mouth injury, tooth incident, and we had to have tooth extracted. And that was a difficult scenario for
yeah.
a 2-year-old and for us as a family. And so it's not like life stops and suddenly you're never going to have anything bad happen to you because you have tools now. But it does make it a little easier to bounce back and recognize, oh, I have a tool for this.
Exactly.
Now here comes the real work.
I think that even I had to accept that I wasn't weak for seeking out tools to help me along my path, because my meditation practice is one thing, and it's a huge foundation for how I take care of myself, but it also alerts me when I need a specific type of care to take care of a particular or to nurture a particular issue. So I've worked with a therapist for a long time now, but it took me forever to even mention it to my parents. And when I first did, I mentioned it in this really like guarded language, like I was talking to a mentor.
Yeah.
I really had to like play a long game with how I laid it down. And it's also entirely possible that the fear of telling them was all in my own head about like whatever projected stigma I was expecting to receive from them. But I just didn't feel comfortable at first saying that. And I've got probably some of the most progressive boomer generation West African parents of anybody. But even still, I approached the topic of therapy with them with a lot of trepidation.
This is just a curiosity. Was it that you were concerned that they might see it as a failure on their part to have not raised you in such a way that you were perfectly happy and healthy and mentally, 100% all the time? Because I could see that being like a source of their discomfort. Like, oh no, did we not do a good enough job?
Yeah, right now in my own family, whenever my kids are working through their own mental health challenges, I do have that twinge of parental guilt. Like, maybe I should have done this, or I should, or did I do something to like trigger this, or is this just, or did I pass on like something in my own mental makeup to like, you know? And I think all of those are like sort of like expressions of deep caring that are our own personal stuff, and it doesn't really have to be in line with reality. I think for my parents, it was just like being the only child, being the only son, all these different intersections. They want to make sure that I'm strong and that I'm healthy and that I can make it through life. So any sort of indication that I wasn't, you know, might be scary to them. But, you know, I was able to have like a talk with my dad over the pandemic during another point in time where I was struggling, and I could see how much he accepted this me in that moment, and that he wasn't super concerned. He just gave me his ear and he just listened to me, and it was really, really a really powerful bonding moment between the two of us, just for me to say to my dad like, hey, I'm having a really hard time, and for him to just sit and listen and be supportive. And I think that moment of knowing that my dad was a safe person for me to share my difficult emotions with really took a big edge off for me in terms of like just continuing to take care of my own mental health and continuing to practice self-acceptance. And fast forwarding to now, I've been blessed with being able to encounter more men who are exploring their own vulnerability, who are on a journey of self-acceptance. My friend Supernova Slum is one of them. What's going on? Peace, Supernova.
What's up? What up? What up? What up? wellness salute to the family.
He's a wellness educator. He's an Army combat veteran. He's a hip hop artist, a community advocate, an author. He wrote Man, Heal Thyself. You know, he has a pretty fascinating story about his journey to self-acceptance and how he came to taking care of his own well-being. You know, just for a little context, you know, his mom, who was and is, you know, Queen Afua, a huge deal in the wellness community in Brooklyn and now worldwide, let him teach meditation from a really young age. And that's kind of like where his journey began.
That's cool.
Just the title of your book, Man, Heal Thyself. Yeah. You know, for this must have been something, a journey that you embarked on for yourself before you decided to lay a path out for others. What's been the biggest challenge for you, or some of the biggest challenges for you on this journey of self-acceptance?
So I had these tools when I became a teenager. Unfortunately, my father and my mother divorced. And he unfortunately, you know, went down the road of crack cocaine. So now, you know, it went from me just being the child that was brought up in the yoga and the meditation and the mindfulness to me wanting to be tough for him because I felt that he was broken when I was younger, right? And that took me down a path away from how I was raised into the street. So I had a little moment where I was in the game banging lifestyle and the whole hustling. I had that dark moment, but I was able to overcome that. So in that returning to myself, I started to be more fired up about my own personal wellness, self-care, and wanting to be a bridge to others because I knew I had the tools, even though I veered off a little bit.
But he says that acceptance of that situation, accepting the humanity of his parents as human beings is what got him through. And on top of it, it's helped him to figure out different techniques that he uses to help other men get through similar things.
I accepted that, you know, these are amazing parents. They got me here. They didn't have it all together. They did the best they could do. And then I'm here to also contribute to my best that I can do, right? So you take all that up together and you're able to recover quicker. And so we have a lot of wounded adults that have not healed that inner child, you know, in my meditation practices for myself and, you know, dealing with the brothers that I am of service with, we do this exercise of called the writing a forgiveness letter, right? And so the whole point is you're supposed to go into a meditation, 10 to 30 minutes, and just reflect on the time from your maybe your childhood or even recent point that was so traumatic to you. that you have not made peace with or overcame, right? And in that meditation, before we write you write the assignment down, we want you to visualize, you know, what could you do yourself now looking back at it to lend support energetically to that version of yourself that yeah. was not strong to withstand that trauma. So the brothers go through the meditation, and then once they get that divine instruction, then they write the letter of forgiveness. Look back at that moment that you were able to be resilient and channel that and lend support to your wounded self, you know, with a place of forgiveness. So these just practices like that, I find not only help me, but they help a lot of brothers that are able to activate those practices.
So this acceptance of his situation and his parents, it grew to a larger scope of self-acceptance at a deep level. And it helped him to hold on to the wellness tools that he had from when he was a kid to manage PTSD and the mm-hmm. other stress that he encountered in the military. Mm-hmm. And then he started sharing this with other people and helping other people in the battlefield to do the same.
I never stopped being able to be an example for my battle buddies that were dealing with some serious... I had PTSD like them, but I just had different tools that I was blessed to have sure. early on. So I know how to drop into my meditation, drop into my mindfulness, drop into my practices that I never stopped since I was 5 years old, you know? Mm. And so I was able to help others, you know, with breathing. And so I noticed that I say, wow, even this military environment, what civilians don't know, a lot of these holistic wellness tenets are embedded in the practices. They have this thing called downtime. They give us like meditation. They allow us to go into an area. We can just listen to some, you know, some rain or some bells, chimes and stuff and just, that, you know, decompress. What I did was I just took on the things that I was already in tune with sure. and I would magnify it. Yeah. It's like I found myself in the environment, the things that maybe were not as pronounced to others. And I would yeah. just highlight it because I'm like, do y'all know they're meditating in the military? Do you know, I don't get it. You know, I'm hyping it up. This is incredible. I love it. So everything that I was about, I would just be highlighting. You know, if you're true to yourself and true to your self-care and knowing thyself, you will magnify that through people, places, and things.
Gosh, I just think it's so important what he was saying about learning to find acceptance for his parents and compassion for yeah. their humanity. And then, you know, finding mentors and learning how to grow and sharing our tools along the way with others. I think if we can be vulnerable and authentic, and if we, you know, don't pretend to be someone that we're not, if we can do that, what Supernova's done and what you have done, Ofosu, in this example, I think we're really helping ourselves overcome imposter syndrome. We're really helping our other people to overcome their own imposter syndrome. And everyone in the process finds healing and self-acceptance.
We talked about this some time ago, that feeling of like standing at the edge of a high dive and just like, okay, I'm just going to take this leap, you know, just to share what's going on inside.
Yeah.
But knowing the ripple effects, oh, here I go with an extended metaphor, but knowing the ripple effects of taking that leap, it's something that I feel strongly about doing. And I really appreciate everybody who has supported me in that. Yeah, because it doesn't happen in a vacuum. So thank you so much for a great conversation, Leia.
Yeah.
I appreciate you. Yeah.
Same.
All right, y'all. Well, don't forget that in addition to hosting this podcast, Leia and I are your personal meditation coaches in the Balance app. You can have us right in your pocket. So if you aren't on it already, download it to start meditating with us. We have a few meditations aimed specifically at self-acceptance, and yeah. we'll teach you meditation skills that you can use wherever you are in your self-acceptance journey, because it is a process. Yeah.
I do have to say, I think the self-esteem single that just came out is one of my faves.
I love it. I love it. It's something I'm passionate about. So I hope y'all check that out. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk to you next time. Have a beautiful week.
All right. Don't forget to be kind to yourself. Take care. Peace.